Facebook is facing two antitrust lawsuits from the United States. Professor Bill Murphy dives into it. This is The Legal Impact, presented by the University of New Hampshire Franklin Pierce School of Law, now accepting applications for JD graduate programs and online professional certificates. Learn more and apply at law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or hosts and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Bill, who is suing Facebook and for what exactly?
But you mean currently, because we have a lot of potential suits and current suits out there. The ones that happened in the last week or so, it's a pair of lawsuits. We have a filing by a number of states against Facebook, and then a separate filing by the Federal Trade Commission. They're essentially mirroring the same activities, but they are separate lawsuits. Now, this is in contrast to Google's case a few weeks ago, what we talked about, where the states joined with the filing with the Justice Department. So this is a different approach where each of them have a separate lawsuit. Now, they'll probably be joined, but it allows each one to pursue their own lawsuit. And if you look at them, they're slightly different. The FTC does not charge Clayton 7 violation, which is the merger violation. They only charge Section 2 of the Sherman Act. And the Sherman Act is monopolization. And then they have monopolizing acts as acquiring WhatsApp and Instagram. You can see I'm really on all this social media. The states filed and they also charged the violation of Clayton 7, which is the merger part of our antitrust laws.
Now, what's the importance of the states suing Facebook in addition to the federal government? I don't understand how this kind of what appears to be redundancy works in the real world.
Yeah, and in fact, the plaintiffs are often not just the federal government. We have in our antitrust laws, we provide other people to be proper plaintiffs. Now, the states can represent themselves in their own antitrust laws. Each state has their own antitrust laws. And sometimes you'll see a state file federal and state within the same complaint. So they'll have a cause of action violation of the federal law and a cause of action violating the state law. Here, the states really only are acting as a proper plaintiff under the federal laws, which they're allowed to be, just as you and I could sue under the federal laws. The Clayton Act gives all of us that are harmed by a competition activity the ability to be a plaintiff. Now, normally states do that in order to get treble damages and attorney's fees. Here, the states are not asking for the treble damages. They are asking for attorney's fees, but they're not asking for treble damages, which is also interesting. I mean, a lot of this is strategy. If you go to the National Association of Attorney General's website, they are very active in antitrust right now, and they have the complaint. They talk about other actions that they have. And I think that anybody that's interested in this and wants to see this from the state point of view, that's a great website. So our state's involved. Of course, we have not the firepower and the people power to bring the suit ourselves. So the lead state is actually New York.
What's the goal for the plaintiffs in these cases? Is it to split up Facebook? Is it to get more government oversight?
The main thrust of these particular cases, and this won't be the only problems that Facebook's going to have. I mean, Facebook has a variety of issues percolating around. In fact, and just a side note, remember over the summer, Facebook and the other tech giants were all at the House hearings of the Subcommittee on Antitrust. And they came out with a report in October, which some of that is mirrored in this particular set of complaints. This set of complaints focuses on certain acquisitions that Facebook had a strategy of either buy or bury, they called it, or I think somebody else called it copy, kill, or emulate. So
essentially, for an example for the layman, I mean, they outright have taken features from competing platforms. For example, Snapchat, they literally took their kind of story, which is their main posting mechanism, and created Instagram stories and Facebook stories with it, which is, it's a blatant duplication. And they caught a lot of flack from the public when they released that feature. Now it's mainstream, but it doesn't mean there wasn't damages.
Yeah, and this is very similar to, you remember Microsoft way back when, so this is not new, when they saw a threat with this new internet browser issue, and Netscape was doing quite well, and they decided that, well, okay, we're going to just incorporate that for free into our operating system, and guess what? Netscape doesn't survive that decision-making. So that's why the FTC is charging monopolization. These are monopolizing acts. You're either buying or you're burying, destroying, doing acts to make it difficult for people to compete with you.
Facebook said in a statement that essentially the government approved their acquisitions, so there should be no issue there. It seems like with the Instagram side of the house, they kind of, to me, as layman, it seems like a pretty valid case they can make. But I mean, does that really matter several years after the fact?
Well, this is, I'm surprised that they're making this, because there's a famous Supreme Court case in 1957, where the United States government sued DuPont for an acquisition it made. They bought 23% of General Motors in 1917. And actually, it extended over 2 years. So between the period of 1917 and 1919, 40 years before the case was brought, DuPont had taken this position. But it had become anti-competitive at a point later on, 40 years later, and divestiture was ordered. So that's not anyway, illegal. And in fact, until the passage of the Hart-Scott-Rodino Act in 1967, which introduced pre-merger notification requirements, which I think is what Facebook's trying to make it sound like was approval, the government often was in a position of challenging mergers long after they had been done. They read about them in the Wall Street Journal. Now, the challenged Facebook mergers did go through a pre-merger notification process, and they were not challenged by the FTC or the Department of Justice at the time. But the pre-merger notification just means that you have to file certain things that hit the requirements, and then the government can ask for further investigation. It doesn't mean they approve it. It just means they're not acting on this information now to launch an investigation. So, pre-merger allows the government the chance to challenge merger before the eggs are scrambled. And it is going to be difficult to undo things afterwards. But sometimes you don't know if the merger is going to be anti-competitive until something subsequent happens. I don't take that as it's not like laches or, it's unfair that, you proved it once, you don't get another shot at this. It's just like, if I investigate you once and then I find out later, oh, you committed a crime, I don't go, well, I investigated you once, I didn't look for that, but now I'm going to come after you.
This must have had a huge impact on the value of Facebook. I mean, how much of this sort of thing is impacted with the governments with getting involved with suing a company like this?
Yeah, I mean, you never know exactly what's moving stocks. But, if something big happens that day and suddenly the stock market changes, you might expect that that's the information that's moving it. And if you look at, Facebook's publicly traded common stock, and the closing price the day before, according to the Washington Post, I read a story that said, it fell a certain percentage. And so I just calculated that percentage times the number of outstanding shares, and it came out to a $25 billion drop in market value of Facebook's based on that news. And you've got to remember, some of that loss was probably already cooked into the price because of earlier stories claiming that a lawsuit was coming. So, these things do have a market hit.
How long do you think a lawsuit like this is going to take? I mean, are we talking the next year? Are we talking 5 years, you really think, for an initial decision is made on anything on this?
I think it's very clear that Facebook is going to fight this. I mean, they have very much intertwined their business with the acquisitions that they are challenging in the particular complaints. I also think that Facebook starts to see that these cases, and the European Union is filing cases. We have other cases probably going to come for other acts that Facebook's been engaged in. So I think that they're going to resist as best they can, which means then a more long and drawn out fight.
Yeah, and obviously there's going to be many appeals regardless of who comes out on top.
Yeah, I think that there's a real political dimension to this right now. And hidden behind a lot of this is another debate that's going on in antitrust. Should antitrust go beyond the consumer welfare standard that became popular after the Chicago School sort of took over the antitrust theories? And the political concerns really is concentration of power. I mean, there was an article in the Atlantic, I think, a couple of days ago about, Facebook as the doomsday machine, that this permeates people's lives, that they can influence 2 billion people at any given moment. And so these data-driven businesses like Facebook, Google, Apple, and Amazon, they have a very powerful influence over our society and also our laws and policies regarding privacy and cybersecurity, which normally are not within the consideration of the antitrust laws. And is this trying to bring those considerations in? Well, some people are resisting that. Some people are saying, well, the antitrust laws aren't designed for that. So this is going to be, I think, the main issue for a lot of these cases. The vast amounts of data that these companies are continuously collecting and analyzing are what is giving them these advantages. I think the European Union calls it a structural competition problem. Our economy now is based on these, big data businesses where there's extreme economies of scale and scope, big network effects, zero pricing, at least to one side of the market, and we're all now kind of data dependent. I think that when you think about how do you break up Facebook, it's probably not, you don't want to have two small pieces with half the data. The attraction of Google and Facebook is all the data is in one place and you can analyze it. And that's the power. If I know everything about what you've done in the last, few years, I can make a much more focused advertising pitch at you than if I only have half that data. So it's probably going to be something along access to the data or something that we haven't really thought through is exactly how we're going to solve big tech problem that everybody's looking at.
And obviously, this goes beyond political parties. I mean, this is coming out during the Trump administration. There are states that are both politically left and right that are involved in that side of the case, too. So this isn't something that's going to magically go away just because a different president's going to be in place.
No, and it's unclear to me. You see some of the cases where it's only the Republican AGs, and then other times they're not involved in it. It's hard for me sometimes to make sense of what each person's concerned about. I think that some of them like certain things, what these essentially digital gatekeepers are doing, and some people dislike some things. So, nobody wants to kill off our successful competitive businesses. At the same time, the power is scaring people.
Now, the European Union is obviously very concerned about all this. You've kind of briefly mentioned it. What are they looking at doing at this point?
Yeah, and AJ, I think that's a great point, because I think that this has to be a global issue. Even though we're concerned about the effect of competition in the United States, Facebook is and Google and Apple are everywhere. And they recently passed or are about to pass a Digital Services Act package where they're looking at a different way of dealing with the problem. And it's going to be an ex-ante regulatory instrument where they call these large online platforms their digital gatekeepers, and that the digital gatekeepers will have to follow certain rules. I'm not sure that's the way we will go, but at least it shows that there's a different approach out there and that there'll be an international debate about what to do about this. The control over these technological and data ecosystems is really, really an important issue that will have to be decided over the next coming years. I mean, we've moved into a new age and we have digital ecosystems that we all depend upon, particularly during COVID. We all figured that out. So the rules for how we deal with them and how they are supposed to act and what are the rules of that competition, I think are in our future to be determined.
Thanks for listening to The Legal Impact, presented by UNH Franklin Pierce School of Law. To help spread word about the show, please be sure to subscribe and comment on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple, Google, and Spotify.